Welcome to the DDT Archives. I'm your host, Chris, without my tag team partner in podcasting, Greg. With me today is the bubblegum princess of wrestling, Alexia Nicole. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I don't think I ever anticipated being able to call someone a bubblegum princess. How did that nickname come about?
I used to chew gum when I got nervous because I would grind my teeth and not stop it. And so I was chewing bubblegum one day because that's all I had. And I used it in a promo. And that's really where it came from. Like, that's the story. It just started from there.
Nice. Well, I appreciate it. As a kid that grew up playing Candyland, it just fits. So it definitely a good nickname. So you're coming to us via Canada. So that means we are once again international with our podcast, which is awesome. It has been quite fun getting to spread out and not just be in the States. What was it like growing up in Canada with professional wrestling?
It was pretty cool. There wasn't a ton of events. Like, I didn't know about indie shows until I started wrestling. I had no idea what they were until the training started. So I only ever went to WWE shows, and they were only here maybe once or twice a year. So I didn't get the fan experience a lot, but I watched it on TV all the time, and I always listened to Jerry Lawler called Canada Bizarro World, because we kind of cheer for whoever we want. We don't care who's face reveal.
How do you... You know, I guess as an American growing up during the Attitude Era, I guess we saw the best of both worlds. It was always really unique seeing how when Bret Hart would be in the States, he'd be booed out of his mind. But as soon as he went into Canada, he was the good guy and Michaels became the bad guy. How loyal are Canadians to their performers?
They're so loyal. The second someone's from Canada, you can do no wrong. You're the hero for anything. Because, I mean, for Canadians, there's not a ton of wrestling. And because it's so hard for Canadian wrestlers to get noticed, the second one does, it's a huge deal for any of us.
It's interesting that you say that because, I mean, a lot of the bigger names have come out of Canada. Even right now, like, the North is killing it in Impact. Obviously, one of the companies that kind of caught my eye is Smash Wrestling up in Canada, and the performers they bring in are phenomenal, like yourself. Can you talk a little bit about Smash?
Yeah, Smash is a lot of fun. They haven't really run since SummerSlam weekend last year, but that's just because there was so many events. I think they ran like 6 shows that weekend, but a lot of fun to work there. I always had different opponents from where I would usually work, so that was really cool. And they just, they really liked to bring the fans the best talent they possibly could.
Definitely. Now, some of our audience is going to recognize you from Impact. Talk about your Impact experience and being able to work with some of the best talents in the world.
I never thought I'd get to work with some people I did. Like, I'd wrestled Jordynne Grace before Impact. But, like, Madison Rayne, for example, that's someone who I watched when I started wrestling. So even before I started wrestling, I looked up to her. So getting to work with her was mind-blowing for me. I didn't think I'd get to.
What kind of emotions did you have going into that match?
Nerves. A lot of nerves. I had to be at the venue from like 9 a.m. So I was sitting there all day just being nervous, knowing what's going to happen. But you know, she's super sweet and super easy to work with, that as soon as we started working, it all just went away and we just had so much fun together.
With your current shows, with the backyard shows that we've been seeing, it is not the prototypical what people expect of backyard wrestling. Kind of explain to people what's going on with the shows and why you tried to drown someone last week.
Backyard Pro is, if anyone knows what Backyard Wrestling is, Backyard Pro is the SNL parody version. That's the best way to describe it. We weren't aiming for having the best like wrestling matches, because we know we're literally in backyards. We can't do that. But we wanted to make people laugh, make people have fun. We wanted to make people smile, especially because, like, you know, we all can't work because of the pandemic. So this was the closest thing we could come to wrestling. So why not do something fun with it? I tried to drown someone last week because I was trying to win and it worked.
I saw the video of the handcuffs and then throwing someone in the pool, and I lost it laughing. I think that's hysterical. Sucks for that guy. Hope he could kick his way to the top. It's all that matters. How has the pandemic affected Canada?
At first, it was kind of rough. Like mid to end of March, everything shut down. Nothing was opened. If you needed to go somewhere, there was a huge lineup to get in. But recently, like I'd say the past month and a bit, everything's been pretty close to normal. Like we have to wear masks everywhere. And for a lot of things, you have to make appointments. You can't just walk in. But other than that, like life is pretty good. Like we can kind of hang out in groups again. Some shows have started running. So we're slowly getting back to normal. Our cases are slowly going down, but it's our government's not rushing back into anything, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, I think that's probably the better move than some of us down here in the States. Like I'm based out of New York, so we were the beginning. We were a disaster. And that might be the most understated thing ever. Now it seems like Florida's the disaster. And at this point, I can't go to 36 other states unless I'm willing to quarantine when I come back. So it's, while it's eased up here, it has not at all in some ways. And it's just become a pain in the neck to travel unless you're in like a tri-state area, like with New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. And I think they would try to limit that, but we're border states and there's nothing you're doing to kind of limit it. Talk to us about your love of movies. Where did that come from? And you know, what are some of your go-tos?
You know, it started not that long ago. There's a group of us here. We just started going to movies, like a group of wrestlers. We started going to movies every week, and I kind of just fell in love with watching movies that way. I think my go-tos are, like, Dumbo's my all-time favorite, the original one. My go-tos, like, I've watched Joker a few times since it came out. I've watched Spider-Man a lot, like the Sam Raimi movie a lot. Well, Avengers, trying to think. Yeah, it's like the superhero movies mostly, but
the connection between superhero movies and professional wrestlers has been something that I didn't anticipate to be to the extreme that it is. I think we've done 54 interviews during quarantine. We have absolutely tried to kill it. And I want to say 53 of them loved, you know, comic book movies and comic books. And then I usually just sit there and go, oh, that's Greg's side. So, but I've learned from Greg, so I can now hold my own in conversation. I did see Joker. I have to see it again. It seems like it's one of those origins movies where the more I see it and the more I pick up out of it, the more I'll like it. Kind of like a Batman Begins. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a well done movie, and it shows New York exactly how New York is. It's just a creepy place sometimes. Dumbo's an interesting choice in terms of movies, though. Tell us why you love Dumbo.
That was the first movie that made me cry. And I was like very young when I watched it, but I hadn't cried watching a movie from like, how old was that? Like maybe 5 or 6 till like 19, 20. So that always holds a special place in my heart. Like I love Disney. It's one of the things I watched growing up all the time. Like I go to Disney World, the Dumbo ride would be my favorite thing ever. So Dumbo's always very special to me.
That's awesome. Disney World's a place where I haven't been in almost 20 years, but we used to go when I played baseball. We would go every year as a team. And let me tell you, the last thing you want to do is release 25 18-year-olds free in a theme park. Nothing good is going to happen, but the stories will be there forever, and it was so much fun. I absolutely love Disney World. My wife won't go on rides, so it kind of seems like a big expense for her to just stand there. But yeah, I'm gonna have to force her at some point.
Well, there's more. There's so much. Like, I don't know how now, but like, you know, there were the parades, fireworks, characters to meet, and even like everything just looks magical.
It is. It's a fun place to be. It's like you can't be upset if you're in Disney World. It definitely is an awesome place. She just refuses to do the rides, and therefore I have to actually convince her. But we're gonna work on that, and hopefully that gets alleviated. How did quarantine kind of squash your plans for 2020, and how do you plan on kind of rebounding in 2021?
Oh, quarantine took out most of my bookings. This is the busiest I had ever been. Took out half my March bookings, and then everything from April to now, pretty much. Like, I won't be wrestling until maybe next weekend, but most likely middle of September. So I did that. I lost my job, my actual job, along with a lot of other people. So I got to kind of start from scratch again. So my goals for 2021 and try to bounce back from that is, you know, hopefully we can all wrestle again, get all the bookings back. For me, I need to get back to work as soon as possible.
Yeah, definitely. It's been tough for everybody dealing with that part of it. You know, I'm lucky enough. I'm a teacher in my day job. So I'm in one of those positions that I'll always have a job, but it's been rough. I know my buddy was out of work for 4 months, and you know, some of my other friends still trying to deal with it. But I think the positive outlook, you know, will kind of shine through. In terms of the travel, are you restricted from coming into the States for shows right now?
Oh yeah, the border's closed. It's closed for, I think, another month, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's closed till next year. Where they're very strict at the border. You cannot cross to do, unless it's an emergency or if it's like a family thing, you can't cross the border. And then, of course, if you do, it's 2 weeks quarantine when you cross to the States and then another 2 weeks when you come back.
So just throw away a month of your life.
Yeah.
it is kind of crazy, but I mean, I get it. If people could just kind of start following the rules. How are people in Canada about wearing masks? Because I know in New York we're actually really good at it, but I've been away since and it drives me nuts seeing so many people just without them.
Not too bad. Most people wear them. I've seen people wear them under the nose, and like, that's not how you wear a mask. It's over the nose, but whatever. Honestly, for me, like, I don't like wearing it, but I know I have to. Like, it's not, for me, it's like, it's just, you have to wear shirt, shoes, and pants to go into a store. You know, the mask, what's the difference? So, but people are pretty good. Like, there's some people, I remember there was a rally, like, a couple months ago about people who wanted to not wear masks, and they all got sick, so, like that didn't work out.
That is some great karma right there.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing a mask, but I'm going to get sick. You know what? I've gotten to the point where I don't like wearing it, but I will wear it. And at this point, I just try to find the most bizarre looking ones possible so that people just look at you funny. Because what I have found, I am very outgoing when I do this or when I'm teaching. I don't want to be bothered by people when I'm out. So I got very good at using my facial expressions to show people I really don't want to talk to you. But when you wear a mask, it's like an invitation for everyone to speak to you. And that part drives me nuts. I have to figure out a way, maybe get a mask that says, don't talk to me. That might be the move.
Yeah. At the gym, you don't have to wear a mask while exercising, but I have like the disposable ones. Just, I'm like, you know what? I'll wear them. It's not that hard to wear working out. And if I sweat through it, I can just toss it out after. But people come up and talk to me without wearing one. I'm like, get away from me. You're already sweaty and gross. Now you're not wearing a mask. Stay away. I don't want to talk to you.
Exactly. I actually started, when I do my cardio, I like wearing the mask because, well, for me, once I go back to work teaching, I'm going to have to wear a mask for 7 hours straight, walk in the building until I leave the building. So that part's going to be an adjustment. So I figure if I could do it for an hour and a half when I do my cardio, it should get me acclimatized to it. That, and I just think it looks fun when you take the pictures and you're wearing a fun mask and just like, haha, I can finally wear a mask.
Yeah, and like so many people get those, I don't remember what they're called, but there's these special masks that like reduce your airflow, so you have to work harder. And like it has supposed to help your cardio. So like if you're gonna wear a mask, that kind of mask, what's the problem with a normal one that doesn't do that?
Exactly. You know, you're talking about like it's the equivalent to restricting air, like you'd be up on a mountain or something like that. I forget.
Yes, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Those things are crazy. Have you ever tried one? They're brutal.
No, there's people wearing them.
They're brutal. Definitely do not encourage those. So the other joke I make with people is, where did all of the female wrestlers that love video games go to school? Because when I was going to school, I was a loser for playing video games. How did it happen, and where were you all hiding?
I mean, I don't know about them, but when I was going to school, I never told anyone I played video games because I was the only girl that did. So that was my little secret from everybody because I was the only one. So, but I don't know. I think a lot of us get into wrestling because we feel like we're outcasts and we do things that are different. So maybe that's why all female wrestlers, or most of them, play video games. I don't know.
What are your go-to games?
Right now, I play a lot of Animal Crossing.
I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, I play a lot of Animal Crossing right now. But like, Pokemon was the first game I ever played. I played almost every single game. I play Super Smash Bros., Mario Kart, a lot of Nintendo games because I have a Switch. But I play some Soul Calibur sometimes. Mortal Kombat, I like fighting games as well. So Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom, Marvel Ultimate Alliance is one of my favorites. And some of the SmackDown vs. Raw games are okay. Some aren't. I played 2K19. I never played 2K20, but it looked awful, so I didn't want to.
The new one. So I'm more of an old school wrestling fan when I play video games. So I look at the old roster and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, oh, we have the Freebirds. Oh, we have the Von Erichs. I'm jumping on this game. The 20 version of that game, just, it looked like the pits from the jump. And just watching everybody turn on a video game was amazing to me.
Yeah, it was like the graphics aren't even good. It's not even like the gameplay is off, just awful. Gameplay is awful. Graphics are awful. Like everything's awful about it. And 2K19, it's fine from what I played. Like it was fun to play. And I know they switched companies, but I don't know how it could take such a nosedive.
Yeah, I don't know. The platform, when they changed platforms, it went straight down the tubes. I'm more of a sports game person because I fall into rabbit holes, like most human beings, especially now. And at least with the sports game, there's a set time. So it's like, okay, yeah. I played 3 games, but I can kind of calculate how long I'm playing. If I started playing any of those fighting games or any kind of like first-person shooter games, I'd be playing video games for 24 hours straight.
Oh, yeah. My boyfriend, I'll sit and watch him play The Witcher or Ghost of Tsushima because I can't. I'm so bad at those. I'm so bad at RPG games. I like watching them. I'm really bad at playing them. But we'll literally sit there for hours and like I won't even notice how much time has gone by. I think like 4 or 5 hours as long as I just sat there and watched him play. And I'll be like, oh, we should probably go eat or something.
That's something that fascinates me now is the number of people that go on YouTube and just watch people play video games. I mean, that's not my cup of tea, but if it works for people, good for them. It's just something I never thought I would ever see.
Me neither. And then I watch a couple of them. Like, I watch a couple of gamers, but I only watch them because they're funny and they make me laugh. Like, I don't watch people who seriously sit and play games and, like, try to do well. I watch people who are bad at games or are doing dumb things in games to make me laugh.
That's a good idea. I could probably pull that off. I'm going to have to give that a shot.
Yeah, like there's his name is Call Me Kevin. He's probably one of my favorite. He just does dumb things in old games, and it's funny. So like, I'm not watching him to learn how to play. I'm watching because he's making me laugh and making me smile.
That is definitely something interesting. I'm gonna have to look out for that. I was a college football coach until pandemic, and then I got canned on that end as well. But one of the things, it was funny because we couldn't give football scholarships, but half my team was on video game scholarships for esports. So they were, I mean, they weren't getting full tuition, but they were getting a couple of grand to play video games.
Like, that's crazy.
And they actually, our first football office, they took the office to make into a video game room. So they have all these super fancy computers with their really fancy computer chairs and video game chairs. And we got kicked out of our office, and it is the most incredible room I had ever seen. I had to keep it quiet that I thought it was incredible, but our head coach was like, just get kids to play video games. I'm like, that's everyone.
That's insane. It is everyone, but that's so crazy.
Yeah. So imagine getting to the point where you're getting college paid for to play video games. Unreal to me.
I wish that was the case when I went.
Exactly, right? Like, half of me is jealous and half of me thinks it's cool. But then I see some of the guys that go in and play, and the next day I'll be in for practice and they're wearing the same clothes and the same spot that we left them the day before. And it's like, guys, bed at some point? Like, heard of all-nighters. This is ridiculous. What do you anticipate kind of jumping into in terms of wrestling as soon as it opens up? Are you going to go full bore, or are you going to kind of ease back in?
I'm going to try to go full bore. I got to go to training more. I've gone a couple times because you can only go so often. Like, you got to see how many people are going, you know, make sure you haven't been hanging out with so many people at the same time. But I want to go train more before I go back in, but I'm going to try to go back in as much as possible because I just miss wrestling. And I know there's not going to be a ton of shows once it comes back. And then my biggest worry is, will there be, you know, a second round of COVID? Because if there is, there's no outdoor shows in Canada. Are you crazy? It's going to be freezing here. And a lot of the shows right now are outdoors. So I know that if we get a second wave, we're just going to shut it back down again until probably March or April. So I really want to go full in as much as I can just in case that happens.
Yeah, we started so the indies in Jersey have started running shows again. I was at one at the end of July. It was very limited seating. I think they had 50 people in the venue. But in a lot of ways, it's really kind of a cool experience because everybody's in the front row because there's nowhere else to put you. And everybody's spaced, like, that part I love. Everybody's spaced out, so it's like, good, nobody's on top of me. I don't have to talk to anybody I don't want to. That part is appealing. But also just, like, I walked away from that night, and granted, I had a relationship with the promoter and a bunch of the guys we've interviewed were on the show. So it was cool on that end. But just to be back doing something normal for me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just as a fan. So I can't imagine as a performer how almost therapeutic it'll be to be able to get back to that part.
Yeah, like there was so Destiny Wrestling had like a barbecue last weekend, which I did that, but I wasn't wrestling on it. But just to be in the ring in front of a crowd, just to even talk to them, felt like I usually hate it. It felt so nice. Because I usually get super nervous, but to just see people again and, like, get in the ring and just, you know, be a wrestler again for a couple minutes felt great. I guess pretending because I wasn't actually wrestling, but.
Has this kind of made you appreciate fans more?
Yeah, it definitely makes me appreciate fans more. It's hard to appreciate fans sometimes because we get, like, the weird ones. Just come out of the woodwork and, like, they ask for weird things. They, like, stalk us. And, like with Sonya Deville, I mean, that's like everyone's worst nightmare. But this really made me appreciate getting to meet fans again and to actually see them and talk to them and just having them there. It really felt nice to know that, you know, even after everything, they still want to come out and support us.
Yeah. And to me, that's the coolest takeaway, is seeing how much more interaction there's been between performers and fans, even online. Obviously I get that there are a ton of creepy fans out there, and they, you know, I say this every episode. If you're going to send creepy DMs, send them directly to my co-host Greg at DDT Archives. Don't send it to any nice female performer. Send them to Greg. Greg will appreciate them. He won't actually, but it's funny. He has the sense of humor that if that happened, it would be comedic genius. So we're hoping that we can deflect from you guys and get it all to Greg, but I don't see it happening.
Oh yeah, most of my friends in wrestling are guys, just because, you know, there's mostly guys, especially in Canada. There's only a couple girls, but the second I get one, I just send it off to them, and they start dying of laughter. They think it's the funniest thing.
It's so not comfortable. I don't understand how people are so. Ugh. Yeah, just there's no other word for it.
I've tried to, like, some people, because I've met them at shows and they'll message me something. I don't even think they realize it, but I'll tell them, like, hey, would you say this to your mom or your sister or your daughter? Or, like, would you want someone saying this to them? Because if you wouldn't, don't say it to me.
valid argument. I mean, obviously in today's climate, we're, you know, I'm much more cognizant of the things I say. As a 39-year-old man, like, I know at 22 that would have been somewhat challenging for me, but even still, I never cross those kind of boundaries. And it seems like people, the more open people are with their lives on social media, the more they feel that they can comment on everything, and it's so wrong and ridiculous.
Yeah, I used to post a lot more about, like, my personal life. I've been cutting down a lot, like, the more I've been wrestling, just because I found it's much less hassle to deal with. And I found fans thinking they were, like, my friends. And, like, they'll randomly ask me super personal questions, and I'm just, like, it'll throw me off guard. I'm like, whoa, I'm like, we're not, I'm like, I like, you're super nice, but we're not close like that. I'm not talking about that with you.
Well, I promise I will never send any creepy messages, so we can be friends. like, that's been the best part of our podcast, is being able to become friendly with people, and being invested in what they're doing, and also feeling that kind of that love back. I took for granted the platform that we have. So how have you used, you know, social media and maybe podcasts to kind of keep your brand at the forefront of people's minds?
I really just tried to put as much of the brand out there as possible. Like, I really try to push my gimmick out as much as I can, but then I realized, like, okay, yes, I'm a girl in wrestling. Like, people are going to want to see me look pretty. So I'll throw out a pretty picture, and then I'll just back to wrestling as soon as I can to bring it back there.
That makes sense. Yeah, I don't have to worry about that piece. Nobody wants pictures of me.
When I started training, I started in 2011. I started wrestling later than that. But I started training in 2011, where women's wrestling was still, like, very diva-y. So I knew coming in, okay, like, you kind of have to push that, get your wrestling out there. Like, you can be the best wrestler, but you got to look a certain way to make people notice you. And then once they notice you, you can just flip it on them and show them what you can do.
Well, you can definitely go in the ring. That's for sure. You know, if all it takes is a very quick YouTube search and you realize you're extremely talented and fun to watch perform. So hopefully people will take this opportunity to kind of become familiar with your work, because, you know, big things definitely are ahead for you, and hopefully when everything kind of breaks, you know, you'll start being able to travel into the States again, and we'll be able to come see you live, because that's our ultimate goal, is to be able to see every performer that we've interviewed perform live. Like, it's that part, we're going to make it happen. I don't know how. Haven't figured that out. I don't know how I'm booking a trip to New Zealand. We interview people there. But, I mean, Canada's doable. Once they allow.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm in New York, so it's really only 8 hours upstate and then jump the border. So it's not too bad. Now, you're not a Blue Jays fan, are you?
No, I don't really watch the sports.
Okay, perfect. Just making sure. We can still be friends. Okay. What else would you like to get out to our audience? What else should they know about you?
I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty boring, to be honest. Like, I'm not the most exciting person. I feel like everyone else has, like, so many exciting things going on in their life. And for me, I live at home with my parents, and I'm going back to school because I got fired during the pandemic. Like, that's my life right now.
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, there are worse things. I mean, going back to school, what are you going to go back to school for?
I'm going back for animal care.
Nice. What are your favorite animals?
Polar bears, pandas, red pandas, manatees, dogs, cats. I like them all, but I guess those are probably at the top.
Don't get a polar bear as a pet. I don't think that would
be. No. Darn.
Gonna have to go and say that's probably not a great idea. I mean, they are absolutely beautiful animals. They terrify the crap out of me. Now, are they around the areas in Canada or just up in the Northwest?
Mostly Northwest, yeah. I think you can, like, if you drive up 8 hours from where I live, you'll get to, it's called Timmins, and I think they sometimes have polar bears there, but you got to go way north. You got to go to the territories to see them for sure.
Nice. Yeah, animals are awesome. I'm a dog guy. I'm allergic to cats, so I'm not a big cat person just because I don't like to itch. No one really does. My wife and I got my dog 5.5 years ago, and I can't imagine life without that guy. He is my best buddy in the world.
They're family members. Like, I have two, and they're part of the family. One's 14, one's 11. They're family members. They're not just pets.
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, sometimes I wish he didn't feel the need to sleep in bed. That would be, that would be ideal. You know, waking up to a 55-pound bulldog trying to push you off the bed because he needs more room is kind of ridiculous. But, I mean, at the same time, that's my little buddy.
Yeah, my sister actually has a bulldog. He's, I think, 70-something pounds, 70, 80 pounds. Same thing. They don't want him up there, but he's...
Yeah. My wife started that, and I couldn't take it. I don't have the patience to listen to him whine outside the door. Because bulldogs don't just bark. They, like, Ewok. It's hilarious listening to the noises that he makes.
Yeah, he sometimes cries. I know, like, my sister's dog. He just whines. He'll just sit there and, like, you'll see his little lip quiver.
Yep. It's the saddest thing in the world. It's like, all right, buddy, come in, just go to sleep. You know, he gets whatever he wants. This is why if I have a child, I need to man up there because the dog's already winning. I want you to get out to the audience, all your social media, your any merchandise you want to advertise, you know, use our audience to help make you better.
Okay. My social medias are, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Alexia Nicole. I have shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees. If you do, I think it's /bubblegum is my store. But you just search Alexia Nicole and it'll come up. And I always have 8x10s for sale. Just give me a DM or an email, and t-shirts as well. And I also have calendars coming out for 2021. I did them last year and everyone really liked them, so I'm doing it again. Those should be out in November, but if you want to pre-order, you can pre-order now. I'll take them.
Awesome. And we'll definitely push anything that you put out on social media. We'll make sure we get out to our audience as well. And once things pick up, we'd love to have you back on again to kind of, you know, tell people what you're up to and, you know, let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully soon I'll be back doing actual wrestling. Destiny Wrestling is the first place I'll for sure be back, September 13th. But hopefully after that, there'll be more coming. And even Backyard Pro, actually. Give them a follow on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and YouTube. Check out the videos, because those have been tons of fun. And it's just a bunch of guys and girls who miss wrestling and want to get back in the ring and are doing our best to entertain everyone. And, I'm wrestling on there next Thursday as Detective Cookie-O for the Backyard Pro Championship. So if you want to check that out, live at 8 p.m. on YouTube for Backyard Pro's page.
Awesome. And we'll definitely put that out on our social media page for you. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. It's been quite a bit of fun.
No, this is a lot of fun. Thank you. I haven't actually done a video chat with anyone because I have really bad internet, but it's working today, so I'm pretty happy about it.
Well, our audience doesn't get the video, so now they're disappointed. I only it's
but now they know I
actually with video chat though. Like that's what we found. It's you can read people's faces so much better in a video chat than like listening in sound, because obviously everybody can change their voice. So we've found that it's much more, you know, of a personal thing doing the video chats. At some point I should probably figure out a way to get them out to our audience. Maybe it's like a Patreon thing where we only let them see it if they actually pay for it. I'm going to have to talk to Greg about that. He's the brains behind this mission. I'm just talent.
That'd be really good, though. That'd be a really good way, because a lot of people like watching the video.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I don't know why anybody would want to see me, but if they want to pay to see me, I'm with it. You know, hey, cool. Again, everybody can send your creepy DMs to Greg at DDP Archives. You can follow us on Instagram at DDT Archives, and you can follow me on Twitter at Chris_DDTHSLB. Do not send me those pictures, just Greg. He is way funnier. Again, thank you so much for being on today. And, you know, we're going to keep bringing you the best interviews from around the world.